And you, as a child of God, you have been given a gift. Some gift, whether it's a natural gift, and you know, we've seen people this morning exercise the gift that God has given them. And you know, we look at others who maybe can sing, or people who can, you know, do certain other things. They have certain gifting that they use that were God given. Now, I wish I had the God-given gift to be able to sing. You know, I think it's something that God didn't give me the gift to be able to sing, because I'd act a fool, man. I'm being honest with you. I know I would be acting up if I had the gift to sing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Charles Hart, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Firm Foundation. So let's join Dr. Glaze.
A house that was falling apart, but this man, actually, he was a construction foreman, and he built houses. And so this rich guy came to him and said, I want you to build me a house. And here, he said, I'm giving you a blank check to just use whatever you want to use to build this house. And so the man took the blank check, and he figured that he could cut some corners and save, maybe put aside some money for himself. So he didn't invest in the best materials. He cut corners where he could. And when he built the house, the guy who gave him the check for the house came to him, and as they both stood in front of the house, the man who paid for the house gave him the keys and said, this is your house. Just think, he could have given the best. This man gave him a blank check. He could have given the best in making an effort to build this house, but he came up short. And I think that there's going to be many of God's people that stand before him. And again, you know what? Man, heaven is going to be a blessed place. The Bible says that there's not going to be any tears in heaven. The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So I have to believe that heaven is a joyful place. It's a place of rejoicing. It's a place of excitement. But I think for one moment, that when we stand before Christ, not to be judged for our sin. Oh, our sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Thank God, oh my soul, that our sin has already been dealt with. And the next time we appear for judgment is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe that as Christ goes over our works that we have done, that some of us will have to, for that moment, again, heaven is a place of rejoicing, but I believe just for that moment, maybe a note of disappointment will come when we know that we didn't build with the best materials, when we know that we could have built a little bit better. Just for a moment, because like I said, you know, I believe that the overwhelming presence of joy and pleasure in heaven is going to supersede everything else. That's why, you know, people say, what about memories? Well, I have memories of my loved ones and all this stuff when I get to heaven. Well, the fact of the matter is that if memories of your loved one is going to cause you to be depressed or bring you down, then that's not going to be heaven, right? How can that be heaven? People say, well, you know, I'm getting ready to get, man, come on, Pastor Glaze, you should have just stuck with your message. That's what you should have done. You should have just stuck with your message. You know, people ask me, well, is my loved one looking down over me, watching over? Now, I know, send all email correspondences to Brett Taylor at Brett, what, seven? No. You know, man, just think. If my loved one is looking down at me and I'm sick and they're watching me in the bed suffer, or my loved one sees me doing things that I shouldn't be doing, you know, getting ready to commit a crime or getting ready to, you know, do something that is not pleasing to the Lord, how is that heaven for them, right? I believe that God's going to have them occupied with so much other stuff that they don't have time to be looking down. You know, now, even with that said, right, I believe that, you know, just say your loved one prayed for you to get saved and you didn't get saved, maybe God might just pull back the curtain and just show them, you know. I don't know. But again, I believe just for that moment that God is going to, that person is just going to bow their head and say, man, I wish I would have did more. I wish I'd have did more. I wish I'd have added more gold, silver, or precious stone. And then Paul goes on to let us know in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort that it is. That everybody's work will be tested in the fire. Now, what are the works? The works are your acts of service in the kingdom. You know, what are your works? Your works are acts of service that you have done toward other people, that God is keeping record. Now, whenever I preach these things, I have to qualify it. You know, is there, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, is there a big campfire behind him? And, you know, he takes all your works and he throws them in the fire. And the ones that are gold, silver, precious stone, that they come out. The ones that are wood, hay, stubble, they burn up. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know if there's a literal fire that's going to try them, or if it's just, you know, God has a process in which we go through to test the works. I don't know. But I do know this, that I hope mine are made out of gold, silver, or precious stone. Whatever he does, whether he sends them through a literal fire or whether it's this language is figurative, you know, I want mine to abide. Now notice that there are two types of works. There are worthy works and there are worthless works. The worthy works are the gold, silver, and precious stone. The worthless works are wood, hay, and stubble. And if you think about fire, especially as we look at it in the Bible, what's two things that fire does? Say it again. Purifies. Fire purifies. And so if it's gold, silver, or precious stone, it purifies it. The fire also does something else, and that is it consumes. And so if the materials are less, they will be consumed. They will be burned up. In 1 Corinthians 3:14, if you go to that next slide, it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. So here we see, if you put that back up there again, here we see your works, gold, silver, or precious stone, and they're going through the fire. God has taken all, you know, the song that you sang, the ministry that you performed, the service that you gave. It goes through the fire. Shaka Khan said, through the fire. Right? It goes through the fire. And when it comes out, it says, if it was gold, silver, or precious stone, that you're going to receive a reward. Now, again, these rewards that we receive, you know, is it for us to put on around our neck and walk around heaven and say, oh, man, you know, look at that brother. Look at all the gold medals he got. No. You know, I only have one scripture for this, and it's found in Revelation 4. You know, I believe that we will take those rewards and lay them at his feet. That we will lay them at his feet. Because we know that we owe it all to him. So we'll receive a reward for our service. So as you labor, you know, keep in mind that if you're labors, if your works go through the fire and they come out on the other side, that you will receive a reward. But sadly, we read in verse 15 where it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So we see that the fire of Christ's judgment will show whether a work is gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, or stubble. The thing that we also see about this verse right here, that is not the person that's being judged. That means you're already in. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're already in. You don't have to worry about losing it or not having it. You're already in. And so it's not the person that's being judged, but it's the work that's being judged. And you know, I don't want to be one of them people that when my works are going through the fire and I'm standing before Christ and my works are going through the fire, I don't want to have to say, Jesus, I can't see you. All this smoke, I can't see you. I don't want any smoke, right? Let's put it this way. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, Pastor Glaze is going to shoot straight with you. I know there's some stuff that probably is wood, hay, or stubble. I'm just going to be honest. I know this probably been. And if you're honest, you're going to admit to, especially as I get ready to show you what I'm getting ready to talk about here. So, you know, I just hope there's not a whole bunch of smoke. I just hope maybe there's embers, you know, just kind of coming up. But I still got a clear picture of Jesus, right? That's what I hope. So, what matters? What matters? What you do matters, and your motives matter. What you do matters, and what your motives are, they matter. What you do matters. Your service and ministry, and how you serve the other saints. Your service matters. What you do for the kingdom of God matters. Only one life. It'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. What you do matters. Don't think that you're just wasting your time. Just don't think that I'm just going through the motions. What you do matters. Yeah, there's one powerful verse. Let me just read. It's found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. And it says this. And notice, this is to me, the minimal act of service. The minimal act of service. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cold cup of water in the name of disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no way lose his reward. The simple act, and I'm not talking about, you know, coming to a choir rehearsal and staying for 2 hours and coming for 2 hours on Sunday to sing, and I'm not talking about coming to a meeting and sitting there for 2 hours and then going out and doing the service that's involved in that. That, you know, to me, that takes a little more energy and effort. But right here, he says the very minimal act, that's, and all I'm trying to say, saint, all I'm trying to say is what you do matters. If you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, that God notices that. And if God notices you giving a cup of cold water, surely he recognizes that time that you spend serving him. Surely. Sometimes I drive up to the church, man, see people out there cutting grass, right? That takes a lot of time and energy, you know? And there's other things that so many people are doing, right? And just think of all the energy that takes. But yet and still, if you give a cup of cold water, that God sees it and he rewards you for it. You know, I'm not one of the preachers that say, turn to your neighbor. But I'm gonna say, look inside yourself. Look inside yourself, and you don't even have to say this out loud. Look inside yourself and just say to yourself, what I do matters. What I do matters. And so we move from what you do that matters, and then we look at your motives. Oh, now here's where the rubber meets the road. right? Here's what, you know, what are your motives, you know? Yeah, you can do things, but what are your motives for doing them? I took this quote from John MacArthur, and he was talking about our service and why our motives matter. Let me read this. He said that when we build on that foundation, we build by our motives. Why we do a thing is as important as what we are doing. A campaign of neighborhood visitation done because of compulsion is wood. Because somebody made you do it, right? Somebody almost stuck a gun to you and said, you're going to do this, right? That's wood. He said, but visiting the same people in love to win them to the Lord is gold. Singing a solo in church and being concerned about how the people like our voice is hay, but singing to glorify the Lord is silver. Giving generously out of duty or pressure from men is straw, but giving generously with joy to extend the gospel and to serve others in the Lord's name is precious stone. Work that looks on the outside like gold may be hay in God's eyes. He knows the motives of the heart. Let me read this verse. As a matter of fact, I got this verse up, the next slide. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the motives, counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Man, Pastor Glaze, you preach that sermon. Preach, Pastor Glaze. Preach. Yeah, I'm just preaching it because I want people to shout. Up in smoke, man. Up in fire. Oh, you know, so-and-so really sang this morning. They really sang. He said, don't judge anything. No. Oh, man. See, this is the frustrating thing about a message like this, right? Because I have to say that we should encourage people and we should give them, you know, their kudos. We should do that, right? But then it's got to be given in the right way, and it's got to be received in the right way, right? So if somebody says, man, you really sang that song this morning, you know, the first thing that should be in my mind and my heart, well, you, man, praise God. You know, praise God. And then, you know, we're both on the same. You remember in the book of Revelation when that angel appeared to John, and John thought it was God, right? And so John got down and began to worship the angel. And what did the angel say? Look, man, you need to get up. You're going to get both of us in trouble here. Right? You're going to get both of us in trouble. You need to get up. And so when we do something, what we do matters, but also our motives matter. You know, where is your heart at? As you go for gold, you know, these are two things that you need to keep in mind. What I do matters, and what my motive is, that matters. And so as I conclude this message for today, just want to challenge you with three thoughts as you go for gold. You know, is what I'm doing in line with God's will for me? You know, do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is what God would have me? You know, you have to look at your motive. You know, or am I doing it for some other reason? Is this God's will for me? Oh, man. And see, here's where I struggle, saints. Here's where you can pray for Pastor Glaze. Did I do this in the power of God or the energy of the flesh? You know, one of the things that, you know, as a pastor, man, I've preached from this pulpit since 1990. You know, that's going on 35 years. Look at all the messages that I've preached. I've done Bible studies, you know, all those years. I've taught in our Bible all those years, right? And so the tendency is, well, you know, man, I taught this stuff before, man. You know, yeah, I've done this before. You know, or I've sung this song before, right? I've done this before. And so it's easy to get out here and do these things in the energy of the flesh. That's the wrong way to do it. You know, I like the story that I heard about a physician who was getting ready to do a heart surgery and was talking to someone the night before. And they said to the physician, they said, man, you probably can do that with your eyes. You've done it so many times. You can do it with your eyes closed, right? And the physician said that I treat each one with such reverence that it's like the first time I ever did it. What was he saying? He was saying that, you know, I realize how serious this is, and I realize the significance, and each time I want to go into it fully aware with all my energy, with all my senses. I want to be totally tuned in to what I'm doing. Yeah, I probably could do it. Not with his eyes closed, I would hope. But he could probably do it, you know, kind of like a second thought. But that wasn't his attitude. And so, Lord, and that's why I was saying earlier, that I know some of my works probably are wood, hay, and stubble, because I know there's been times that I've kind of said, oh man, I've done this before, I, you know. And I have to stop and ask myself, am I doing it in the energy of the flesh, or am I doing it in the spirit? And it's easy to depend on energy of our own. I like the song that the choir sings, a strength not our own. That I've got to, each time as I sit in that chair, before I come up here, at some point I got to bow my head and say, Lord, if you don't do it, I'm doing it in the energy of the flesh. If you don't do it. And I can say more often than not, I come up into this pulpit relying on God and asking him to fill me and asking him to guide me and direct me. Whenever one of the associates preach from this pulpit, I either text them or call them the night before, and I offer up a prayer, and I just say, may the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon you, and may the power of God reside in you. You got to ask yourself, as you go for the goal, are you doing it in the power of God, or are you doing it in the energy of the flesh? And then finally, you got to ask yourself, did I do this for the glory of God, or for my own glory? Wow. And it's so easy to get caught up in our own glory. It's so easy to stand up in a position of leadership, of visibility. And man, you gotta fight it some. You gotta fight it sometimes, because your glorification is trying to come in there. But you gotta fight that, man. You gotta say, Lord, I'm doing this for your glory. Doing this for your glory. Going for gold. Going for gold. Paul said, build upon this. Gold, silver, or precious stone. And I need to realize that what I do matters, and my motives matter.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Living a Life That Lasts, a Legacy, from our series, Going for the Gold. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Firm Foundation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Firm Foundation. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Firm Foundation from our series, Going for the Gold. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series Going for the Gold is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Charles Hart reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.